Well, as Martin has already said this morning, and you probably tell from who's up here, Heath and Hannah, their family are on vacation this morning, so I'm filling in. So lots of prayer requested this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to be up here, and thanks, Casey, for visiting and helping us out today. Usually you find me hiding back in the corner there, so with the guitar. And I just want to tell you a little bit about, before I start the message this morning, sort of the genesis of why this message. Number one, because I believe God put it on my heart. And number two, I think a lot of times we get together for practicing, we call it practice, but really we're worshiping. Practice is worship. And we get together, one of the first things we start out with is what you will see today. I won't say it now because we're going to talk about it during the lesson, but something that Pastor Lynn brought up, I'm going to give him credit for that, a great definition for worship. But it's a reminder of what worship is all about. And that's what I want to do today, is I want to really delve into, there's so much. I talked to Eric and Casey a little bit during the week to tell them, talk about some of the things, and brought up, well, there's so much in the Bible about worship. I could be up here a long time. I'm trying really hard not to do that. Well, I've got my little timer on here, my phone here, so I try not to go over half an hour this morning. Keep it, my wife will remind me. But there is so much good stuff about worship, and I think sometimes we get it out of perspective, or at least I do. And we have to push it back into the perspective of what God wants it to be. And that's what I want to talk about today. So, next. Okay. So we're going to talk about, I labeled it true worship, because we're going to find out from Scripture that there is true worship. Next. Give you a little bit of a map of what we're going to talk about today. Acceptable worship. Is there a standard? Question. What is worship? Maybe some definitions. Perspectives. What can we learn about worship from what others have said about it? Some famous people you'll see there. And finally, worship, I think there's one more on there. Yeah. What is it all about? What is true worship? My purpose is to rediscover worship as a means to strengthen our relationship with the Lord and connect with Him more intimately, because I believe that's what it's all about. Next. Okay, so let's start off with some scripture. This was part of what Heath has talked about since we've been going through Hebrews 12. And this verse, I'll tell you, I did this about in 2008 with the youth, took this very slideshow at least, and I modified it. Well, there's hardly anything remaining, but I got done with the whole thing, and this verse popped into my mind. It's like, I cannot leave this out. It was added probably a week after I did, not for this one, but for my original one, and this was the verse that the Lord gave me. Don't forget this verse. I said, okay, well, seems that that's coming from the Lord. So here it is. Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. We've talked about this as Pastor Heath has gone through Hebrews. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I felt that had to be added because I'm pretty sure it came directly from the Lord that you need to put this in. You need to talk about this when you talk about worship. So, what can we learn about from Hebrews 12 there? Number one, the first part, thankfulness. Sometimes do we forget to be thankful when we're worshiping? We get involved in worship, but, you know, thanking God for what He's done for us is a critical part of worship. And sometimes I think Destiny was sharing with us this morning, sorry, Destiny, put you on the spot, that she is thankful for salvation, and she brings that up in her prayer life. I thought, that's really good. That is, you know, I'm glad to hear that from our youth. But thankfulness is such a part of worshiping God. And sometimes we forget. The second part there, so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So if there's an acceptable worship, then sometimes maybe there's unacceptable. Isn't all worship good? Well, sometimes I think we got to get it out of whack, maybe. And we get into things like, we play worship music this morning. That's a part of, you know, it's become almost our cultural. When we talk about worship, people just naturally presume we're going to be talking about music. And it's great. Music really expresses the deep parts of our heart. That's why God created it, for worship. That's the original purpose, I believe. But sometimes we get the reverence and awe part almost lost. We get so wrapped up, and, you know, part of why I didn't stand up there at the very beginning is because I don't consider myself a musician, but I love to worship. So I picked up the guitar originally because I really loved to play music because it was a great way to worship God. And when I first stepped up here, all sorts of technical things, oh, I can't do this, you know, I didn't like the pressure, whatever, being up in front of people. But really, it's about all of us. We're all involved in worship. Those who do the musical parts of it, those who are in the congregation, we're coming together as a body of believers to worship. And each one of us is part of that. So the part that I think that sometimes that I hope we capture is that reverence and awe, that we're standing before the throne of God. And sometimes we miss that in our society where, you know, things are just sort of, cool, you know, things, we're trying to be so cool that sometimes appreciate our pastor and his passion for the Lord, because oftentimes he comes up here and there's a tear in his eye, and I think that's great because it shows that there's a passion, a deep passion and reverence and awe for God. And that's what worship is all about. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does Romans say about worship? Well, number one, we're to be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Does that mean that we have to go out on the mission field and be persecuted and thrown in prison? But no, I think it means for all of us that how we live our lives is important to worship. Worship isn't just about what we do here on Sunday. It's not about just singing songs. It's about how we live our lives. That's our spiritual act of worship. When we are walking with the Lord, that's worship. As every bit as much, maybe more so, than what we do here. This is an expression of worship as we come together as a body of believers. But really, worship is about what we do every day. How we approach life, how we approach different situations in life, how we bring the Lord into every aspect of who we are and where we're going, our faith, how we live among others. The second part of it, I think, is important too. But because we're talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, I know Pastor Heath has talked about this before too, is that our minds are renewed as we see God through His Holy Scripture. As we have a picture of who He really is, I think renewing of the mind, I think it speaks to me and it says repentance. It says that, yeah, we're not quite up to that standard that God has for us. He's still working on us, right? Anybody perfect here today? I'd be the first one to admit I'm not. So it's okay that we're not. But that doesn't mean we stop there. We grow. We transform our minds and our behavior and all the ways that we live and allow the Lord to, by our trust in Him, to again be a living sacrifice, to live for Him every day. Next. This is a verse that I think captures a lot of, I did a message on this in youth group not too long ago, the woman at the well. The amazing thing about this whole scenario is the woman at the well was someone who Jews do not, they don't like Samaritans. There's a big cultural gap there. They didn't associate with each other. And here is Jesus talking to a woman, which was back in that society. It was, you know, something that wasn't always done. And talking to a Samaritan on top of that. And he is teaching her here in John 4:23-25. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called the Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Well, the big rift between Samaritans and Jews was where they worship. There was and I can't explain it all. I don't think we have time for it today anyhow. But there was a big conflict about you worship at the temple, at this mountain, at that mountain. It's not the place where we worship or our techniques, but it's that we worship the living God and we worship Him in spirit and truth. And we'll talk about a little bit of this a little later on, but let's head on. Next. So what is worship? Here's the Pastor Lynn definition that I promised. I love, Pastor Lynn had some great definitions, and this is the one of them that I think we need to hang on to because it says so much. I think it's more than just a definition of worship, but going back to being living sacrifices, it talks about, this is the Christian life, isn't it? That we see God as He really is, that we see ourselves as we really are, and then that we respond appropriately. All three of those have to be together for us to really have a relationship with God, right? If we see God as He really is, but think that we aren't unworthy, that we somehow can do it on our own, we're missing the point. If we see both and then never repent, never turn to Christ for salvation, we've also missed the point in all of this. So it's important to understand that worship takes in all of those things. And when we see God more clearly, see ourselves more clearly, and then learn to respond appropriately, that's really what the Lord is looking for. It brings us maturity in our Christian life. It helps us to have perspective, that awe and reverence when we see God accurately. Sometimes I think that's missing. We live in a society that moves really fast. I work in Kent, and every day I'm on the road, and I'll be honest, I hate driving. I mean, people are zooming along, and it's chaos. And we get so caught up in the things around us. Our schedules, you know, electronics, you know, all the things that are entertainment. We have so many things that we can lose focus on the most important thing. Anybody ever take time to just look out at the mountains or, you know, just be in awe of the things that God has created around us? It's one of my favorite things. I like to go up on the mountain every year and climb because I just love being outside, and it reminds us that we have a God who's great, powerful. He made all of this for us, but most importantly, that He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for our sins, to give us forgiveness, eternal life. So the bottom line, you go back just one more, is giving God all the credit for who He truly is. Next. Going through this really quickly, again, seeing God as He really is, holy and perfect. He's grieved by our sin, but that doesn't mean He's left us without a way out. Second, seeing ourselves as we really are means that we need rescue. A lot of times in this world, if you heard me last time, I talked about this a little bit, sometimes we think we're basically good people. And that means we're weighing ourselves around the people around us, relative. But when God created us, He created us perfect. When sin entered into us, we still have a natural part to us, our flesh, that we struggle with, even as believers. So we're not basically good. We are enemies of God. We are at enmity with Him. And Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us while we were still His enemies. And that's an important fact that I think sometimes we forget. So we really need to see ourselves not as horrible people. You know, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm saying that we need a Savior. We need rescue. We need what the Lord Jesus is offering to us. All the ugliness of life around us, when we see the ugliness of all the things that we mentioned in the first line there, selfishness, greed, arrogance, malice, rage, all of murder, all of the things that come out of us are because we have that fleshly nature. And God wants to bring us back, recreate us in the image of Christ. It starts with recognizing the fact that we can't do it on our own and that Jesus did it for us on the cross. But we have to go to Him to be able to have that relationship with Him, to have forgiveness. And that's the last part here. I put Acts 4:12 up there. And hopefully everyone has done this, but salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to come to the Father. A lot of times we look at this from a human perspective, and we look at, well, why is, you know, from a religious standpoint, but really it's all about God. Think about fathers. If you sent your fathers and mothers, if you sent your son to a group of people who work for you or part of your, and Your son was rejected and killed. Just think about that. God did that for us. And our response was to put him on a cross. That was Jesus' plan the whole time along. But there was jealousy, and people rejected, his own people rejected him, Jews. We did. So the point here is that, again, to worship, we've got to have a relationship with Christ first. And the stronger that relationship is, the closer we draw near to God, and the more we are truly worshiping him, we truly have a sense of worship. Next. Thought I'd throw in some perspectives here. Just some of the thoughts that of folks that you might know. The first one is Chuck Swindoll, Pastor Chuck Swindoll. Anybody hear of him? Okay, most of you have heard of him. So he's got a lot of great quotes, and this is one of them. Worship is not the mumbling of prayers or the mouthing of hymns with little thought and less heart. We celebrate God when we join together earnestly in prayer and intensely in song. So I highlighted the earnestly part there because I believe that has to do with involvement of all of us, all of our being, not just surface level. Yeah, I went to church and sang some songs today, but getting down to the inner part of us, our heart. If our heart is involved in worship, then we're really connecting with the Lord. I have to give another person some credit here today. I asked her if I could share this, but a long time ago, we had a young lady in youth group. Jessica's here today with the Wordemans. And one of the things I noticed about Jessica a long time ago, and I never said this, Jessica, before, so sorry. But I was talking to Jessica's brother, Josh, and I said, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate is when I see someone who is just really loves the Lord and puts it all out there. And Jessica's one of those people. I know many of you are too. I could give many examples here, but I wanted to give Jessica a shout out because one of the things that I noticed about her way back in youth group, and I know it's still there today, is just her heart for the Lord. It didn't matter what was going on, you could tell that she was connected with the Lord when she worshiped. And that's what it's all about, you know? When you really look at it, it's connecting with God. Not how we sing or what we do necessarily even. We could be doing a lot of things too. But worship is just simply connecting with God. It's about pleasing Him. We'll get to some of that too. Next, our pastor. This was back in 2008 when I first did this, but I forgot to ask him, but hopefully he doesn't mind. Worship means taking the time, maybe even continually, to honor God for who He is, finding out more about Him, and humbling yourself for His agenda. Most of all, it's sincere. Painting the picture of God to myself and others through being in the Word. Singing and praying. My reaction to others and situations. Planting my face to the floor. Waiting and being still. It sort of incorporates all those things that we've talked about, doesn't it? About how we live for the Lord by being living sacrifices. Acknowledging God. Acknowledging where we are, that we're sinners but saved by grace. It says a lot of things there. So we're blessed with our pastor. Next. Okay, here's another guy. Has anybody heard of Chris Tomlin again? Okay. Chris Tomlin, if you haven't heard of Chris Tomlin, a lot of the songs that we sing up front are from Chris Tomlin. And he is probably known around in most church environments. His music is really, really popular. He's probably would be known as America's worship leader here. He's that good. He is, and often I went to a concert a while back. I heard him just once. I didn't know him very well then. But the part that really impressed me is that, again, he did a little interview. You can see on the bottom there's Worship for All Seasons out of Today's Christian Magazine. That's where this is taken from. And, quote, he said, "The deal about worship is that the heart of it is what pleases God, not what pleases us. We do get amazing benefits out of worshiping God. Our souls are filled up. We get life. But the purpose isn't so I can feel better about myself. Worship, in its simplest sense, is giving our lives to God, the fruit of lips that praise His name." Capture all of that is worship is what pleases God, not what pleases us. So often, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I get emotional as we worship together, getting a little bit out today. And That's good. It says that we're connecting with the Lord. But it's not, again, about, oh, I felt good about it, so it was worship. Or, you know, I'm coming to church, I'm a little down today, I don't think I'll sing, or I'll just sing, go through the motions. But really, however we're feeling is not as important as whether we're pleasing God. And our aim is to please God when we worship. So, although, you know, I hear a lot about, you know, the musical, the technical parts. You know, I like this song. And we have all sorts of different, you know, iterations of musical, music that happens in church, from hymns to you name it. It's just a very wide variety. And I've heard music from just a variety of different churches. And the amazing thing is, I don't think, you know, whether we're singing a hymn or doing a praise chorus or whatever in between, if the point is to worship God, it's great. We all have different preferences. But the most important part is that God is glorified. And that's the most important thing here. Next, Matt Redman. Here's another guy, again, considered one of America's foremost worship leaders. Writes a lot of songs. Again, we've sung a lot of songs that are written by Matt Redman, including the last song that we sang right before I got up here, The Heart of Worship. That song was written after their pastor told the church that we are no longer going to do worship with instruments and music for a period of, I believe it was a month or two. Don't quote me on that. But they did stop doing what we call worship with instruments and music for quite some time. And the point was to bring them back to an understanding of what true worship, what real worship was all about. And after this period of time, I mean, you have Matt Redman in your church, you know, one of the, wow, you know, talk about talent and ability. We have Casey with us today, and our worship team members are really good. I really love working with everybody. And we have talent, but the most important part is what we bring to that as worshipers. Okay? The talent and the ability is great, but most importantly, is that God is at the center of everything we do. And just read to you what he said here. Before long, we reintroduced the musicians and sound system as we had gained a new perspective that worship is all about Jesus. And he commands a response in the depths of our soul, no matter what the circumstance and setting. The heart of worship, song that we sang, simply describes what occurred. Something happens when the people of God gather together and play out the praises of God in the presence of God. Isn't that a great quote? I love that. And that's what that song is all about. And often, again, I confess, I get out of perspective, lose that perspective. And we have to, again, draw back to what did God create worship to be? What is it all about? It's all about pleasing God. Next. I want to share this. Those of you who are in the men's study probably recognize these quotes here. We're going through a book called Desiring God by John Piper. And I thought I would share this really quickly here. God is not worshiped where he's not treasured and enjoyed. Praise is not an alternative to joy, but the expression of joy. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Says a lot, doesn't it? When we are living and we are satisfied, living for Christ and satisfied with him, not just going through the motions, not just doing things or singing songs, but when we are really deeply in love with the Lord, then good things are happening. God has glorified us and we are most satisfied in him. How do we grow in our Christian life? When we get to know God and see him as he really is, when we begin to see ourselves in the light of that, and then we respond by drawing near to him, by aligning our desires with his, becoming satisfied, then it's not a job anymore. It's joy. And that's what God wants for us ultimately, is that when we draw into worship, there should be joy coming there. If it's not there yet, don't worry. God's working on us. Don't worry about, you know, if you feel like, well, I just not into it today. But when we just focus on the Lord and see him again, allow God to reveal himself in us, reveal our issues, and then He'll help us through those times. He'll make it real. Next. Wanted to share this as well. I'm getting towards the end here, so don't worry. Got my eye on the clock there. This was something that I picked up from our Daily Bread. Again, a great devotional if you're looking for one in the morning. But Paul Gerhardt was a pastor in Germany during the 17th century. Had every reason not to be glad. His wife and four children died during the 30 Years' War. There was death and devastation across Germany. This was in the 17th century. Lots of church conflict back then. Lots of distress. But he wrote more than 130 hymns out of even the distress of that time. And the point is here that, again, what Matt Redman said, is not about the circumstances that we're in. We just don't worship when things are going well, but all the time. It acknowledges God's goodness, even when our circumstances are difficult. I know that one of the things that I think the Iwana, God is good all the time. Is that an Iwana thing, Diana? But I've heard that by the kids in Iwana sometimes, and it's true. You know, sometimes as adults, we forget that. You know, we go through difficult times, but God will never leave us or forsake us. He's always there for us. Next. Okay, so wrapping up all of this, what is true worship? Well, what did we learn today? Some of the things that are, I put these in the form of questions for us, because sometimes it's good for us to really ask ourselves these questions. Do we welcome the truth and presence of God in our lives? True worship has to involve truth. True worshipers will worship in spirit and truth, from one of our first verses out of John chapter 4. So, do we welcome the truth in our life? Sometimes it's hard to see ourselves as we really are. Sometimes it's hard to, when God reveals something in our life that we need to work on. But yet, that is true worship. When we allow God to work in our lives and to point out those things where we still need His help. Is the Holy Spirit guiding us, or are we resisting? There's a way that we can frustrate the Holy Spirit within us. We as believers have the Holy Spirit as a deposit, and Scripture says guaranteeing our redemption as believers. But the Holy Spirit, we can push that to the back of our lives, not listen. We can do things our own way, to our own detriment. Are we allowing the Spirit to lead us? Do we set conditions on our relationship with God? Who leads? Is it God or us? Are we listening to His voice every day? Are we in His Word? Is our life a sacrifice of praise? Are we thankful for what we have? Destiny's example this morning I thought was perfect. Thankful not just for the things that she has, but for salvation, for eternal life. Secondly, true worship involves fear of God or awe. Is there general reverence and awe for God? Going back to our verse from Hebrews, that our God is a consuming fire. It can be a bad thing, and that can be a really good thing. It can be a consuming fire. It can take away the chaff and all the unneeded things. And also can be painful, right? It can be a lot of different things. But in this case, I believe what it means for us is that God is purifying us. But we need to recognize who He is. Second part there is our worship about pleasing ourselves or God. You heard two of the worship leaders, national level, I guess you could say that they are rediscovering that every day. That worship isn't just about the music part. It's not just about singing songs. It's about really connecting with the Lord and pleasing Him, not us. Finally, true worship involves intimacy with God. Are we getting to know God more deeply in our worship? Are we renewing our minds every day, going back to, again, one of our beginning verses? Are we allowing Him to renew our minds? And as He renews our minds, that means that we're getting to know Him and see Him more closely to who He really is. We're seeing ourselves more as we really are. And as that happens, are we responding correctly? And finally, I think this is really important. Are we enjoying and treasuring our relationship with God? There were times when I was a young believer, it was work, going to Bible study. I was a navigator. Navigators are a college fellowship, and we had our weekly Bible study, and it took a lot of work. You know, I had to sit down with the Bible and go through, answer questions, do a lot of thinking, And it was difficult. And sometimes I thought, what am I doing this for? But honestly, as I began to see God through the scriptures, my understanding of who he is began to change. And it's still changing to this day. Part of, as we go through the men's Bible study, I think one of the great things that we're rediscovering is God loves us, and that relationship of desiring Him, the joy that comes from that, is something that sometimes I think we forget. We're just looking at our own circumstances, but we want to look at it from God's perspective. We want worship to really be about drawing into the presence of God, coming before the throne of grace, and the awesome power and wonder of the God of all the universe that we get to have a relationship with. Not only in eternity, not one, just when we're dead. Now, the kingdom of God is upon us. It's here now. We are part of that kingdom. We're a part of bringing the good news of salvation to the whole world, those people around us. That starts with us. And it starts with what we bring, you know, our attitude, our actions, all of those things. People are watching each one of us. We have a message for this world. It's a great message. There are people who would just, they would love to be in the situation that we have. We were talking about a lady who is being persecuted in Iran, thrown in prison. Voice of the Martyrs. We had a man who was here. There are people in prison for just mentioning the name of Jesus around the world. We have the freedom to worship God here together as a family of believers. It's a great privilege. So I just want to encourage you today. I think that's the end. More? Oh, okay. Last slide here. Don't give up. Again, God knows that we're not all perfect. We do miss the mark. I just didn't want this to be about throwing spears. It's not at all. It's about encouraging you to see worship in a different way, to grow in your understanding of God, and to practice that often, not just in church, but in and out of church, and what we say and what we do, from the heart, focused on pleasing God, and increasing our desire for God every day. And in doing that, we have joy, and what we do, our relationship with God just grows to the point where we can't hold it in anymore. So I pray that that would be the case with all of us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you are a great and powerful God, that the God of the universe not only desires to have a relationship with each one of us, but that you sent your Son as a payment for sin. We thank you that you've given us eternal life and that we can have joy in walking with you even here on earth, Lord. It's not just for eternity, it's here right now. Father, help us to be true worshipers. Help us to focus on you, to please you, and in so doing, Father, you promised us joy. And we pray that as we leave here today that we might practice this every day, especially this week, Lord, that we get to know you more. And we just bring the praise that is due your holy name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.